Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Survivors, and welcome to episode 65 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
Yay, Kyle's back. It's not the same when you're not here, man.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. It was fun listening to you guys, but when I was editing, I was like, oh no, I wanted to be there so bad, but thanks for pushing on forward.
Yeah. And it was a bit of a long recording last week too. We had, we had some issues. I've gone back to my old mixer. So if I sound any different this week, it might be because of the mixer, but the mixer kept on conking out in the middle. Especially at the beginning of the podcast. So, after we finished recording, I tried to fix it. It just didn't work. So we went back to the very first mixer that I had. So hopefully you won't notice anything, but one drawback that I have is I no longer have a mute. So if I burp or, you know, do something else, it may get recorded. Anyway, all right, so we will be covering season 5 episode 14 of Fear the Walking Dead, titled Today and Tomorrow. So before we get started, we have some additional feedback, and not just from Aaron this time, from Fear the Walking Dead season 5 episode 13, Leave What You Don't. So let's play good old Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And our first bit of feedback is from this guy, Kyle. I don't know if he's ever left us feedback before.
But some dude. What's up with that?
So we wanted to start with getting your take on last week. So
yeah. Well, I mean, loved all the comments everybody gave because, you know, I kind of, you know, had agreed with the whole time and space, a lot of different things that were brought up during last week's episode.
But yes, Texas is Rhode Island.
Yeah, no, it's like, and I'm starting to feel that, like, watching this last, you know, episode, it was kind of like, oh, I think things just don't work the same. But one of the things, I was really shocked that Matt Fuhr, you know, Logan, his whole stint on this show was very brief.
It was, yes. I mean, it's like
we saw him in the first episode, you know, taking over, you know, the mill, and then it was like, oh, then nothing, because they were dealing with the whole volcano, the nuclear reactor thing and that whole ordeal. And then they come back and then it's like, oh, and he pops up. And just to see him, even with knowing this other group, it was just like, when he got shot, I literally was like, what? Like,
oh, you mean
what?
Yes. No, but I mean, it was like, I thought he was going to continue on for the rest of the season. And to see him get kind of knocked out in the way he did, I don't know. You know, in a sense, I kind of now I'm sad that he's gone.
he's a really good actor, and yeah. I've liked him in just about everything he's been in. And I was thinking of something that I hadn't thought of in a long time. He was burling off Rasmussen in Star Trek: The Next Generation, mm-hmm. one episode.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you know, I have known him from several things. I think most recently was Orphan Black. He was really good on Orphan Black playing, I think it was Dr. Leakey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good on that. And yeah, it's and I think Falling Skies as well.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it's sad that and like I said last week, he basically got axled, you know?
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, that's the thing though, is when I was watching it, it was like we were getting like his backstory. We were getting more of like information about him. You know, it was like very interesting to see kind of like where he might have been coming from and just how like why he was kind of acting the way he did. And then it was kind of just a little bit weird. It was like, oh, and then he was just gone, and it was like, oh, okay, he doesn't matter, and bye, move on. And I really kind of wanted to know more, so it was just, I don't know, I was very, very surprised that he was basically taken out like so soon. I thought he was going to play some other more role of either helping our group or, you know, now that we have the settlers or whatever they're called, you know, it's like, you know, maybe because he was working with them, maybe that he would have played some role in that, but it was just like, boom, done, end of story. And I mean, he was kind of also like weak and he went crazy in a way.
Oh, you mean,
you're worthless and weak.
Yeah. I mean, it was like that whole episode. He just cared so much about the gas. Yeah. And then like burning the journals. And yeah, I don't know. I felt it was just like they just kind of threw him out there and just like, whatever, you go run screaming around in circles and then like a chicken and he just got his head cut off and it was done. And it was like over. And it was like, oh, okay, done. That's it.
Yeah.
This show, I think, has had a villain issue.
Yeah.
And I think it still does.
Yeah, I brought that up a while ago, too, I think.
Yep.
Well, yeah. And then the other part was just, like, Sarah and Wendell, are probably my favorite characters. Even, I'm thinking, pushing the OG aside, because they bring so much fun to the season and to the episodes. It's like, you know, I really hope nothing happens to them. I don't know what like they actually kind of bring to the story and the group, because they are kind of axillary, like, you know, characters. They don't really hold very much, I don't feel like a meaning to our main group. Like, I'm just saying a story wise or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they have brought, you know, and like John, you know, John Dory is like, they've brought so much character and fun to this show that I don't want to see anything happen to them. So I'm hoping that they continue, because Sarah is hilarious.
Yeah. It's like we've said, you know, I think these showrunners have done well as far as developing characters, and not as well in developing stories.
Yeah, the plot and how the characters are in their backstory, where, and then just, all right, hold on, we're going to pull the rug out from under you. Like, what are they going to do at the end of the season? Just say, oh, we're going to kill Ginny. or Virginia.
Well, that, or I just feel like it's like they're rushing things. Like, they're not even letting things actually develop and, like, bring in more information or whatever. It's just all like, yada, yada, yada. Okay, here's the next thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here's this. Okay, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, blah, blah, blah. And I think we'll get into it later about Ginny, you know, like, and her character.
Ginny? Don't you mean Tilly? Yes, Tilly. Of course. Good old Tilly. I know that anyone that doesn't watch Star Trek Discovery has no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay.
But you can listen to that on the upcoming
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Season.
You might want to say,
hello, this is Captain Tilly. What the heck? Hell. What the hell? Hold your horses.
Anyway.
And she uses those same references, but she's riding on a horse.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. But anyway, they both have red hair, and you know, other than that, I guess they're not that much the same. But anyway, I do see a resemblance. All right, so did you give a rating for this one, this last one?
No, I didn't. But if I have to give it a rating, I'd probably give it a 7.8 Texas Golds.
Because, you know, I gave it an 8, I believe, last week. And after talking about it, I should have brought it down to a 7. But
yeah,
because we had much to say in the negative last week.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
All right. So now we will move on. Actually, we got some feedback from Todd from Ohio. Mark, why don't you read that?
Sure. Todd from Ohio says, everyone looks like they're from Humbug Gulch. What if, I like how he uses the what if because it reminds me of the what if from Marvel. Sorry. Side note. The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead is actually part of the Westworld universe. Yes. I love that idea. All the humans are actually tourists slash guests to the park, but maybe something is affecting their memories where they forget they are guests and believe they are really their characters. Awesome. The walkers are all part of the robotic or owl population, or AI population, sorry about that. Or via Garrett Dillahunt's character of John Dory, it's a Terminator slash Sarah Connor Chronicles crossover, and Cromartie is running some kind of simulation through his neural net, creating the John Dory character in a Matrix-like environment.
That's kind of funny.
I love that idea.
And, you know, whenever you mention the Terminator, even though it's not the same movie... But I don't know. I don't love the idea of Westworld.
I love Westworld, so I recommend that to everybody else.
Well, but this would also help explain why everything's just so freaking weird and
yeah, exactly. All over the place. And all these catchphrases. Oh my goodness. he continues on saying, anyone else geeking out over the one girl's username who left the 5-star review, Kira Sadler, hashtag continuum? No, just me then? Okay.
I hadn't thought of it when it came in, but yeah, that is her character's name, the lead character in Continuum. Definitely. All right, so we have feedback from Aaron from the internet. So I'm going to start it off. She says, Al is just so awesome. Her hair knows to fall in line each week. Just as perfect as the rest of her smiley face.
She is perfect.
Then she says to me, yes, Brian, I am happy. Thank you for asking. We have to help the writers all we can because clearly they need it to get the final push of a good episode, assuming they aren't cutting corners intentionally because someone wants to focus more on the new spin-off characters coming or tank the show to make the original's issues look better. Again, it's frustrating that each week they're so close to doing really good episodes consistently, but it's the little things they leave out, which takes good ideas down to just okay scenes, or they just drop plots altogether for a new big bad like this season on the whole has felt. As you said, we barely got to know Logan and his motives before they killed him off to do another opposition for the group. I maintain that they should have had Logan to be the first half season bad and then killed him mid-season, and we do the horsey people as Steve and Diana from Aim for the Head. And I listened to that this morning or today. They like to call the new people horsey people.
That's good.
That's just as accurate as anything else. I keep hearing pioneers, but I have focused on the word settlers. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything official. I guess we'll find out eventually. But yeah, anyway, horsey people, pioneer Oregon settlers. Oregon Trail. There you go. Anyway, the horsey people, as Steve and Diana accurately called them for the second half, instead of wasting so much time on the kids. Yeah. And then, you know, the second half, yeah, the kids are still around, but they really haven't been much of a focus at all.
Oh, no, zero.
Zero. It's like, yeah, they're gone. It's like, oh, okay, they're a secondary.
Yep.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, like, why did you spend all that time on like, them if you're just going
to... spending all that time to save them and, like, bring them into the group or, like, whatever, and it's just like, oh, okay, they're just, like, child labor.
Yeah.
It feels a lot like they're kind of writing the show on the seat of their pants, like, with no defined end, you know?
Yeah, there's no definition based upon each character and how they are when they're brought in to be longer. Like, if they brought these kids in, they were a threat. Oh, okay, they brought them in under their wing. But where are they at the end scale? Where are they at the very end? All we saw is that they were part of the takeover of Tang Town.
Yeah.
You know, they were part of that whole situation, and they ran off. But where are they now?
Yeah.
And not even Wendell, too, because we got a good portion of Sarah and Wendell, but where are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they've been around, but Wendell hasn't so much, but he was in the last episode. You know, I know he's going to be in this next one, but the thing, I would disagree with you a little bit, Aaron, on this. I think what they should have done is they should have made these horsey people be the bad guys from the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And the episode where we meet, what's her name? Isabel. Maybe they should have, that character should have been part of the settlers, not part of the people from the movies. Or, hey, why don't we make them the same? You know, I don't understand it yet. I mean, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt because I think, especially after this week, I think that they are interesting, you know, adversaries. And I'm kind of looking forward to some of the things that I saw in the opening scene, which for Premiere subscribers is available, and you'll have it available, I think, Friday if you're not a Premiere subscriber. But they're taking them an interesting, you know, direction, but I would have liked to see this adversary all season. I think it would have been better. Yeah. But yeah, whatevs.
Went at the writers.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think you're right when you hit it on the head with the writers actually trying to write this on the seat of their pants, probably as they were going, as they were doing the show. There were probably a lot of rewrites, and they were just like, oh, okay, we'll do this, we'll do this. And then, you know, a lot of writing errors.
Right. I don't know what their end game is, and that's what I'm kind of curious about. But it just seems like if there is an end game, either the movies or, like, you know, there's a season 6. So it's like, are they just being sloppy just to get it to whatever point they needed to get to? I don't know.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the news. But, you know, they have been proclaiming that the season's going to end with something big that's going to change the direction of this show again. Jeez. For what, the fourth time?
New showrunners?
Same showrunners, but different direction, so they say. Hmm. Anyway, Kyle, there's some more. So yeah, why don't you take over?
All right. She goes on to say, they've picked up other survivors. Why couldn't they have run into Grace dealing with Logan or picked up some of the kids at various locations? For as much as they've used the child actors, it feels like they're a waste of time. We even dearth with them to start with. As much as I don't like The Walking Dead or Fear, they could have used that time for more Isabel group stuff, to tease the movie stuff, or a show merger. Again, little things that could have made a big impact. Here, one of you guys, how did Logan not know where the gas fields were the whole time? Did he never ask Clayton where they got their supply? Maybe it's just me, but this seems like a two-person operation at least. And if they were joint partners, wouldn't Logan know where the oil fields were in case he needed to refuel on his runs? Why did Logan need to stalk the team so much asking for the journals? Or was this a situation where Logan supplied the goods they dropped and Clayton supplied the gas to get it there, and they never told each other where their stash was in case things went bad between them?
Plausible deniability.
She might have answered her own question.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing that I really don't understand. You would think that they would know. I could see some kind of plausible deniability or something like that, but it doesn't make sense. If what would have made more sense to me is that they split up before he did that. You know, he set up the oil fields to do it so close to Clayton's death. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't. I don't know.
Well, yeah. No, it's the thing. It's like, we don't know if they were facing any kind of baddies of their own. And so that's why they would do something like that. It's like, we don't know anything about them. Like, you know, that's one thing to say, like, oh yeah, I don't want you to know where this is just in case you get captured. And then you would spill the beans and then they would find our important stash, you know, but we don't know any of that. It was just, he just didn't know about it, but he was his right-hand man.
No partner or whatever. Yeah.
Right. He was the letter on the truck, wasn't he? Like what, C and J or whatever it was, or, yeah. Anyways. Well, she goes on. She says, C from Oklahoma is all of us with his feedback. Smiley face.
Hashtag. That
is something I've heard many times before. Was it hashtag Steve is us or something?
Hashtag we are Steve.
We are Steve. That's right.
And you could hear Steve Brown, who is Steve, on Pedals to Pixels. Cheap plug.
And another good little insight for a future show coming on this network, Pretty Music for Picard Cast.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And yes, all right, let's move on. So season 5, episode 14 is titled Today and Tomorrow. It is written by Richard Nang and David Johnson. Not to be confused with David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, who is, of course, a consulting producer, I believe, on The Walking Dead, and screenwriter. Like, I know he was one of the co-writers of Aquaman recently. I think he's writing Aquaman 2, and he's written a whole bunch of stuff. But David Johnson was the writer of Channel 4 earlier this season. That was the found footage one that some people loved, like me.
Oh, yeah.
Some people did not, like you guys, I think. I know Kyle didn't like it.
Yeah, he didn't. I was in between.
Richard Nang has been with the show. He has written The Autopsy of Jane Doe. And also, he wrote Still Standing, Behind the Mask, he was also involved with, which is a documentary. Hmm. Yeah. And he also wrote from, I thought so. This is his second season on the show. I think I called him co-producer. He's executive story editor. But he wrote Just in Case and Blackjack last season. Oh. So this is his fourth written episode of Fear. Directed by Sydney Freeland. And she is a director of she's directed about like a dozen or so different TV episodes. I believe the only one I saw her do for multiple is Grey's Anatomy. But she's, you know, she's this is not her first, but I think it's her first for the Walking Dead universe. So, all right, Mark, we'll start with you. What did you think of Today and Tomorrow? And will your ratings change tomorrow?
maybe not. I don't know. For the most part, I watch this about 3 or 4 times right now. So I give it 7.5 out of 10 orange Fantas. I prefer grape like Grace, though.
Oh, I gave it a 7 Cinnabon adjacents.
And I like this one quite a bit. I gave this, and it looks like I wrote it wrong in the docs. I gave it 8.5 traveling Woodburys. Notice what I did there, not Wilburys, because Paradise Ridge reminds me a lot of Woodbury. So let's go on to listener ratings. Mark?
Well, Steve from Oklahoma says, I give it 8.25 out of 10 cats with behavioral issues.
Yeah, I really want to know what those behavioral issues are.
Exactly.
Although I will say this, there is one thing that I saw that could cause behavioral issues, and that's the fact that you're like walking for miles in a cat cage. I mean, get them a harness and a leash and let them walk with you. Jeez. Cats will follow you.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, Alex from New Jersey gave it an 8 out of 10, one step closer to the season finale. Someone's in a rush.
I think someone wants to get to The Walking Dead season 10.
Like all of us.
Woohoo!
Although I will say the accent for Ginny reminds me a little bit of Alpha.
Yeah.
Not really, but.
Yeah, a little bit pushed. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, a
little twangy. Dieta from Detroit gives it 7 out of 10. It's a new sheriff in town called Virginia.
And LT from NC gives it 7.34 out of 10. No respect for vinyl. I have more comments, but I'm in the hospital fighting my gallbladder. And
oh, goodness.
Yeah, LT, we're hoping for the best for you.
And it's worth saying at this point, LT is our most recent Patreon subscriber. Ah. So thank you so much.
Thank you,
LT. We'll give you another credit later on, but for now, thank you so much.
Yep, we appreciate it.
Feel better, please.
Yes. Let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Well, Aaron from the internet says, Althea, seriously, can we take a moment to appreciate her brilliance? Using the scarf to muffle the door break? So good. Now, if we could just get her to stop being so crazy over a girl she met for a day 4 episodes ago, we'd be into perfection. Ha! If she dies chasing Isabel, I'm going to be so mad. Yeah.
Yep.
I gathered that, but yeah, it does seem like she went to nearly extremes this episode about Isabel. So hell-bent on trying to find her, and
Morgan saw through that.
Yeah, he knew something was up, but you know, like I have to say, Virginia made a pretty good point about, like, you know, helicopters. We just got to take a gas, you know? So true.
All right. Well, next is Dieta from Detroit. And she says, the poolside in the pool walker kill. 2 swimmers emojis. Yeah, that was a really cool. I mean, that was a cool, like, scene, a cool effect. Not sure.
I thought so too. Yeah. In fact, I had that in my awesome sauce too. Mm-hmm. They really got a guy with long hair for that, and a very strong walker, by the way. He was pretty strong.
Yeah. But it was very cool because there was a like part of that where like you saw the walker like try to go for her neck. And, you know, like watching that the second time I did, I like kind of paid a little more attention to that from her comment. And it was a good scene. It was tense and scary. And then no one likes to be underwater like that.
Nope. Steve from Oklahoma says, Morgan getting his stick repaired. Amen to that. I enjoyed seeing that. And I thought that was a really good gesture on Virginia's part to get that fixed. Mm-hmm. I was actually very surprised. Mm. And so was Morgan, for that matter.
But it was a pointy one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his stick was pointy at the time when he got it broke. So, yeah. You know, there might have been past footage that had had him with the pointy stick. Maybe so.
Alex from New Jersey says, Morgan with the kill in the pool. The map that shows all the outposts since they are a serious threat.
All right. Well, moving to you as well, Mark, what do you have for awesome sauce?
Well, I really enjoyed the music throughout the episode. Not just the traveling Woolberries and, you know, the little impromptu Ruben Blades singing. But I thought it added to the episode. It really gave something more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had that too. And I included on that the score. Not just the songs, but the score, like the scene when they're like invading, you know, going into Paradise Ridge, and we see like Morgan in Janice's room, and that the music, well, the score that they're playing is, you know, kind of like atmospheric, but it was like really haunting. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, I watched it with headphones on, and it really popped. I thought that was as good or better than some of Bear McCreary's work.
Yeah, it actually helps out. I think they actually are paying more people to do more work in the music for that. So maybe they kind of relaxed a little bit on the writing and paid more for music.
I think they should pay the writers a little more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed the fact that we get to see hear Virginia and her crew are from and what they were doing. An Alexandria 2.0, but with a Negan style of prepping for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a culmination of Terminus, Alexandria, and the Sanctuary all in one.
Completely disagree.
And it felt like Deanna on a Negan trip, honestly. And that's how
Deanna?
I felt. Yeah, she's just going to kill off. Oh, hold on. Tom, we don't like him, so we're just going to kill him. You know, a little reluctant, but it's interesting. Yeah, not reluctant. I'm sorry, redundant. It's kind of like the same old, you know?
Well, we have some interesting article that was we dug up. Actually, both Kyle and me found some stuff about that we'll talk about later in the episode. But I hope that they'll get into this more next episode, but the description that we got kind of in this interview with Colby Minifee, who plays Virginia, is really interesting. And it really explained to me so well what the motivation of this character is. And it was something that I was not getting. But once I heard or read this, I was like, oh, that totally fits. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Kyle brought it to us, so I'm going to let him do that one. But that's interesting. We'll get into that in a bit. Kyle, what do you have for awesome sauce?
Morgan finally getting over his family.
Yeah.
I just feel like this has just been so overdone, and it's just about time he moves on. And it's, I mean, I appreciate like his struggles and the things that he has to do and like, you know, what he's been dealing with, but I'm just like so ready for this to be over with. So seeing him at the end, dealing with, you know, like, you know, trying to get back to Grace or talking to Grace and blah, blah, blah. It was just like even with Al, it was just like, oh yes, finally move on.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about your family. I, you know, that was 10 years ago. Well, to us.
Well, no.
Well,
it's,
to,
it's
us,
not.
To us. Yeah, well, to us.
And new watchers are going to be like, hey, it's like they should have like a little comic book stamp at the bottom. See Walking Dead season yes. 1, episode 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
One. He was only in the pilot. To that, I don't have it written down. And my other two awesome sauci have already been said. So I will mention this. There's a nice little reference to the pilot. And that was that Dwayne loved comic books.
Yeah.
Because we see him in the pilot reading comic books. So I thought that was really nice and subtle, you know,
callback. Yeah.
Callback to that scene. So, yeah, I enjoyed hearing about the, you know, hearing that backstory. I mean, it's all stuff that we probably could have figured out ourselves, but I like the fact that he played baseball and he was terrible. You know, buying the boat and, you know, spending half your paycheck on that. And then she ends up not liking the water.
Well, no, that's nice. That's the one thing they've been doing this season too, is like all the little kind of callbacks to, you know, earlier season of Fear to like with Morgan and like, you know, if you've been a Fran, then like these things, like we're getting to learn more and that's cool. I love getting that info. So it just, if you were a new viewer, you'd be like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Just like, okay, cool. I'm getting some info, but
yeah. But at the same time, it doesn't like, it's not, well, it doesn't, you know, diminish jarring anything. Or anything. You're just picking up, but for those of us that have been, you know, watching this character for almost a decade, this nice callbacks. All right, so let's move on to weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Aaron from the internet says, stop spoiling things with the promos, show team. Again, it's such little things they could do really to really improve this series, but they keep failing at every turn. While it was extremely cliche that Grace would get sick the second Morgan wants to tell her how he feels, it's even more disappointing to see them show you Grace is fine because she's all over the promo for next week. They could have created some easy drama there, but nope. Sad face.
The way she said that, it reminded me of Admiral Kirk talking to Khan and saying, you know, like a marksman, you keep missing the target.
Yeah.
just to clarify one thing with something you said, the spoiling, that is almost never part of the producers. That is AMC marketing that puts that stuff together. And yes, they have done a terrible job with that over the many years of managing both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, how many times have major characters died and the social media team has spoiled it for anyone that it's not watching live? I think when Beth died, I think it was that, oh, it was, yeah, spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's it's happened several times that they've spoiled stuff, but it's the same thing with the promos. It's not just AMC and not just Fear, but I've seen this happen for so many shows where they show too much. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, movies, they show too much in the trailer where the whole damn movie's explained.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Endgame. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got spoiled over that.
Yeah, but yeah,
still haven't seen it. So
no, I haven't on the
yeah. All right.
Next is Steve from Oklahoma, and he says Daniel grabbing the albums out of the truck. I don't know how that's a weak sauce, but I would say, are you referring to when he was trying to pick them all up after the walkers were all attacking him?
I think that he should have left them in the truck because they could go back and pick the stuff off the truck, you know, trying to walk, you know, however far they were going to go. Mm-hmm. It was probably not the smartest thing he's ever done.
Well, my weak sauce coming up has a little bit to do with the albums.
Dieta from Detroit says, Grace goes from singing with a guitar to dying from radioactive exposure in a matter of seconds. And she's got a shocking face. Shocking face, shocking face. I don't know how to describe those. You always stump me, Dieta.
Yeah.
No previous symptoms or nothing? Well, she did have that one symptom when she passed out at the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it, though.
Make it make sense. And then she's got shrug.
Oh, I think that's face palm.
Oh, but that's what it is. Face palm. See, I need a course in emojis.
No, but I agree. It's like, but at the same time though, it's like we knew that she was sick, but yeah, of course it comes on suddenly. Like she wasn't showing any kind of signs during the whole episode of like, oh, my nose is running. Oh, cough, cough or whatever. Yeah. It was just like, hey, I'm great to be like next scene. She's on the couch and Daniel's like, hey, Morgan, you need to come help.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had that in my weak sauce too. That it was a cliche, you know, the moment that Morgan has this little epiphany and contacts her is when she gets sick.
Yeah. And that was the Walking Dead's reward zone word too.
Epiphany. Yeah.
And honestly, that was my weak sauce. So I'm going to agree with Dieta big time. I found it very weak that all, you know, she was all strong and ready and doing things, and then at some point, out of the blue, she's just sick again. There should have been some sort of transition somewhere, showing some sort of fatigue, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was, I think it was kind of corny to do it off screen like that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Kyle, what about you?
Oh, goodness. Well, I guess I started basically was like thinking about like, Charlie, I guess getting this redemption arc because she's made an impression on Daniel. Like, girl, you killed Nick. Like, I don't care if Daniel likes you now, and I'm guessing he doesn't know that you killed Nick, that you now are somehow like in the good graces of Daniel and the rest of the group almighty because BS. I'll censor myself now. I was just like, for Daniel to sit there and give his whole little spiel about like, oh, you know, it was when I met Charlie. I was like, okay, that's weak.
they want everybody to binge watch the show and realize, oh, crap. Charlie really did do this.
Yes. It's like, oh no, like just like, I don't know, this whole thing, like really, like Charlie, like she just got the freaking hall pass to go wherever she wants and like do anything she wants because now she's, you know, she didn't kill Nick.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder, that's a good point I never really thought of, but I wonder if he knows that
I don't think
he does either.
I wonder what he would say.
Yeah,
well, I would love to find out.
They need to have a campfire chat and have that brought up.
What I'm waiting for is him to have a moment of, you know, come here, Charlie, let me show you how to torture someone.
Hey, we've seen kids die in this universe and in this show, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, I mean, that's I talk about this in my what sauce, I think, but I don't know. It's I'll mention it here as a weak sauce, and I know you still have one left. And it's about Daniel, so I'll just wait, and you tell your second weak sauce, because then I'll talk about Daniel.
Well, I just thought the Daniel seeming to be like unaware that he was surrounded by walkers when he went bent over to like pick up all the records, and like he was like trying to pick them up, and then like Grace is like yelling, "Watch out!" or whatever. I mean, like, come on, Daniel. It's like, are you that stupid? Like, there were walkers coming around everywhere, but he was focused so much on picking up the records and saving those that it's like, that is so out of character for Daniel. Like,
yeah,
he would have never have done that. He would never have turned his back on like, oh, I need to go, kind of like Logan last episode trying to do the whole, oh, but the gas. It's like, no, like you would not have been risking your life to do this. It's, yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was weak.
That really fits in with my weak sauce that actually I didn't even have it in a sauce. I had it in my feedback, but I realized now that was the wrong place to put it. I am noticing, I can't help but notice that Daniel seems like a completely different character than the one we knew from seasons 1 to 3. Now, I don't mind the change, but the more I think about it, the more like, just, I was thinking about it after I wrote this in the notes today, because, you know, this is the same guy that was like flaying that soldier in season 1, like flaying his arm. And you know, there's this Salvadoran interrogator / torturer, you know, this guy that was basically born for the apocalypse, and now he's an old softy because he's got the preteen killer that, like you say, Kyle, he probably doesn't even know that she killed Nick.
Yeah.
And what will he say when he finds that out?
Well, and I thought that there was a part, and I thought I put this like in more of my feedback, and I don't think I added it. But like whenever they found out that the oil fields were lost, like Daniel turned around and had that look, and I immediately was like, "Ooh, that's the Daniel look." Like he's like, I don't know. I felt like it's like you have crossed Daniel. Like you like. I don't know. Yeah. It was just the way he looked or whatever that I'm like, okay, there's the Daniels. Like, I'm going to basically murder everybody that's like that's a part of that. But, you know, it's like, again, you know, he's doing this whole, like, I'm hopeful, we're helping people. And, like, you know, that's great. Like, I'm not against that. But,
Yeah,
it's like, I didn't have it in my awesome sauce, but I probably should have. Like, I did like the moment with Grace and Daniel singing. And by the way, both of them are singers.
Yeah.
Karen David has actually released some albums and like been on the pop charts. I think, I don't know if it's in the US, but I know she has in England.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, you know, Ruben Blades has won Grammys for his music.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed that, but it's at the same time, it's like, I don't even remember there being any inkling of him liking the blues, you know? I seem to remember him, you know, liking, like, I don't know, salsa music or, you know, whatever. But I don't even remember anything strong about that either. So,
Well, in the very beginning of the season, when he met Charlie.
Yeah.
He was talking about the Blue Notes.
I meant before this season.
Oh, yeah, definitely before the season. But that's the whole thing. That's the part of the change of the character that they did within the season to get him to where he is. So that's why they put that in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just changing characters at this point. They're just changing the characters completely that were from previous seasons.
The dam blew it all apart.
Yeah, just like, you know, Alicia, look at where she was. She got the PTSD. She doesn't want to kill. Then she's starting to learn from her. Morgan.
Yeah, Nick. Dick, this character that was ensconced in Walker blood, who you know, before he was shot by Charlie, had become, you know, PTSD, afraid of going out of the stadium. And it's just
and it's Strand too.
And Strand's changed quite a bit, yes. And
they're just trying to rewrite the characters, and we've seen it since season 4 till now.
It is normal for characters to change. I might have mentioned this in the past week, but like my wife and I had just done a binge watch of ER, and we see like this tendency for these doctors to come in all cocky, and but you know, as they you know, experience things in the ER, they soften up and they become more like, you know, caring and stuff like that. And now we've transitioned from ER to Grey's Anatomy, and it's the same thing on that show. Like Alex Karev, he started off this absolute jerk, and you know, by season 3 he's much more of a like a likable character. So anyway, the point that I'm trying to make, even though Blaine would say,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Characters will change as time goes on. I mean, look at Rick Grimes. He changed so much in the 9 seasons of The Walking Dead. So it's normal, but there seems to be, with these characters, there's a bit of a disconnect. Like, it's not this evolutional thing that went on. It's, you know, they have this break between season 3 and 4, and the characters are radically different. And I notice it more with Daniel, I think, than any of the other characters, you know?
Yeah.
Although we noticed it a lot with Nick, but Nick's not with us anymore. So, but even Madison was different, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely.
She softened up between season 3 and 4. Like, Madison was a great character, ruthless and protective and all that stuff, but she became much more like nesting, I think, and still with a strong family, you know, bent, but was very much trying to grow the family instead of like keeping the family together.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like, well, no. And that was the whole point of like, this is the whole just missing parts of like the story. Like, we never got to see any of that develop. It was just like, boom, this is just how it is. Go with it. And it was like, fine.
All right. Anyway, that's it for me. Let's move on to what sauce.
What?
Well, we got some what sauce from Aaron from the internet. As always, Morgan, where to even begin with this guy? I can't decide what's more frustrating, the fact that he's so naive about things, see him acting like Jenny is straight up evil next to them and some things their members have done, or the fact that he let a zombie fall outside even though he has his precious stick, he could have killed it. What if Al had been creeping under that window going to her next snoop spot? Kill the zombie, Morgan. Also, of course, he gets a repaired stick because Morgan, eye roll. She's not a fan.
Not a fan. You know, it's worth saying, I should have brought this up in my weak sauce, though. The whole gas cap thing, I think that was kind of weak.
Yeah.
And also, I even had this in my weak sauce, staring me right in the face. I didn't bring it up. The horse steaming up the window.
I had those in my weak sauce, but I didn't put them in there. But I was, because I had too many. I didn't want it to go too long.
Yeah, but those two things, it's just like, that was dumb. That was just dumb.
Everybody's deaf and blind in this universe.
Well, not just that. Like, it's like, you know, what is it with that horse? Like, my goodness, steams up a window, like, from the outside, too. Like, normally, that would be something you might see, I don't know, in the cold or something, but it didn't look cold to me. It looked pretty warm.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I'll continue on. Todd from Ohio, he says, can we please jump on the Westworld Walking Dead shared universe now, please? I swear.
I have a response.
Okay.
No!
Not a fan of that. Not a fan.
It'd be funny, though, if they actually do what Robert actually did in the comic book.
The whole
space, the aliens thing? The aliens
stuff. If they actually did something as a joke and just filmed something like that and just out of the blue for both shows, it would be interesting.
I'll just say that although I still haven't watched season two of Westworld, but and I grew to like Westworld season one by the end of it. But the first two episodes of Westworld, I was like throwing up my arms going, ah, I can't stand this because and you should, as you know, from what you do, Mark, you should appreciate this. But like these cyborgs or whatever you call them on there, like it would take the amount of maintenance time that it would take to repair those things. I don't care if it's like 500 years in the future. Forget it, man. It would take way too long. I don't believe anything that is set up in that show. Maybe as a tech person, you know, as a software developer, engineer, maybe I'm too close to it, but I just see that and I go, whoosh. And I can't get past it. It bothers me so much that I eventually went with it, but it bothered me so much the first two episodes. I almost didn't continue.
Then don't watch the new Child's Play movie, please.
Don't worry, Mark. I probably won't. I'm way past Chucky.
No. What they did with Chucky this time is different. It's all about AI and integration.
Oh, God.
So it's something that I do, that I deal with on a daily basis, and I'm laughing at it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I watched it this weekend, and I found it entertaining. It was actually very good in comparison to the original, but with what you're talking about, yeah, it's like, oh, this doesn't make sense. That thing wouldn't work that way, and it's like I'm overanalyzing, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to bring it up.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Enough Westworld talk.
Yeah.
I was about to go to Voyager reference, but I'll just move on.
No. I'll go on a tangent if that happens.
All right. Well, I will continue. He says, I swear the silhouette of one of the pioneers, I guess that's what we're calling them now, on horseback totally looked like the man in black from Westworld. Either way, it looks like there are only two episodes left to figure out if Dwight will ever find Sherry or if John and June will get killed just after they have their Jewish wedding or if Luciana does anything useful besides babysit the kids, walking around making poor decisions while high on pain meds. And pulling skills that could actually save the day out of a certain place that rhymes with sass. We shall see. Oh, also, Morgan got a new stick, so that's something.
Well, to that end, I think that Daniel and Grace should sing Steve Perry.
You got it in.
Yeah. I got it in. Thank you, Todd, for bringing up Sherry, because Dwight wasn't even in this episode, but yeah. I would say that it's possible that Luciana will get bloated up. That's this big thing that they're going to explode the oil refinery or something. I don't know. We'll see. I am curious what this thing is. It'll probably be something stupid and it'll be just hype, yeah. You know, or they'll fly the plane again and they'll fly into Alexandria.
Or Dwight will actually bring up that Journey song, Sherry, or no, actually it was Steve Perry's song, Sherry. Well, it was actually a song at his wedding when he married Sherry.
and they'll get remarried and that'll be the song, and it'll be sung by Grace and Daniel. I can
and
see
then
it
she'll
now
fall over and die.
Yeah, right.
Her swan song.
Alex from New Jersey has a what sauce. He says, I know Al is about the story and finding her quote unquote girlfriend, but I'm just getting sick of her shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is Morgan. All right. We've got what sauce of our own. Mark, you start it.
What is with Al and having to film the guys coming around the cars that they were surrounded in? You know, it's like she puts the camera up to look around. Like, that's not a dead giveaway, and somebody's not going to see, oh, look, a hand with a camera. And, you know, they can see a camera moving or something moving within a car from a distance if they look in the windows. I don't think there was that much mist or anything to cover that, but honestly, it's like people are looking in cars.
Yeah. No, I thought I was like, I actually like just pulled up my notes. When I was watching the episode, I was like, oh yeah, so the car's windows are like frosted, like, yeah. You know, they're like cloudy or whatever and dirty, but you can see out with the camera.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like the camera could just see through all the gunk. And yeah. And also it's like, that's kind of risky.
And on top of that, mm-hmm. You think with all them exhaling, they're putting hot breath on windows, they're causing more fogging than any other car around them, because they're the only humans that are alive that are doing that, and the other cars will be clear.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah,
be steaming up the back of the minivan.
Yep.
Or the whole like Al getting the gas cap. And it's like, oh, did the guy not hear the door? Like, you're closing a van door.
Yeah, I wondered that myself.
Yeah, I was like, he turns around the corner, but like, oh, you got it, and we're able to close the door with making no sounds. But
yeah, I would have just left the door, like the gas cap out there, and not even bothered with the door.
Yeah.
Well.
It was just like, oh, everybody just can't hear, or like you can close the door. Anyways, whatever.
Like there's nobody else around, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
Should I go on with mine?
Yes.
You should.
Yes. All right. I mean, I had a lot of things, and I think I was like, as I was watching it, I just kept pulling more stuff and like writing it down. So I just kind of just kept it to somewhat a short degree, but I was like, I didn't understand why Morgan was pushing Al to keep putting out the boxes when she was saying it's like, hey, we're running low on gas. I think she even says like, well, we probably have like a day's worth. And I get that it was just pushing the plot along, because then they end up finding what's his name, Tom or whatever, and you know, then they like, ooh, we added a new mission, and like, oh, let's go drive everywhere else, and like, even though we have limited gas, I just felt like that was kind of out of character for Morgan, because I always feel like he's more like on the cautious side, or should be, being like, hey, we've done a good job. Let's get back to the convoy or like whatever. So,
well, I would contend that the reason he was acting out of character, you're right. But there was a reason for it. And that was that he was not wanting to deal with Grace. He was doing anything he could to stay away from the group so that he didn't have to deal with his feelings.
Yeah.
That's what I think was going on there.
Yeah. And he kind of mentioned something about like whenever Al and him were in the compound, saying it was like, oh, like we left the convoy, or like he was blaming himself for, I guess, the loss of the oil fields because he wasn't back there or something like that. But I didn't catch it all. So I know I was kind of like, huh, that's weird that you're like saying that you were the fault of them losing the oil fields. But going to move on to where, like, Daniel said that they had fried the transmission of the truck because they were like hauling, I guess, too much weight because they, you know, collected so much stuff, which was really good for the group. But then, like, Grace calls back to the convoy, and I guess Tess, you know, answered and was like, oh, do you need any help? And then Grace didn't say anything like, oh, yes, like, our truck is dead. It's like, come help us. We have a ton of supplies, you know? Like, I don't know. I just thought that was weird. That's like,
I would say that this is not a what sauce. This is a weak sauce. This is a great point to bring up. And you do have to kind of shake your head here, because it's like, why would she not even say that? Like,
right.
Maybe they don't want to, you know, radio silence or something, but they don't even know. Do they even, well, I guess they know about this other group because of the, because they've lost the oil fields or whatever, but still you would think that they would say something to say, hey, we got all the stuff, we need help, or, you know, hey, we need help,
or right. Play come a song and get us, like, you know, Daniel would.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like, if there's radio silence or whatever, they don't seem to have that problem when they're like, oh, hey, like, we're totally going to be stuck here because the truck goes down, you know, like, you're reaching out to the people, you know, your group, and then it's like,
yeah.
But then that's it. I was like, no. We'll handle it.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, yeah. We're, you know, let us know if you need any help. Yeah, we bring a truck. You know, they don't even have to say what they got.
Right.
All they could say is, yeah, we need some help. We're here. Bring a truck.
Right.
They could say something stupid like, oh, we have wood.
Yeah.
You know,
we have like $100 of Rice Krispies.
There you go.
But yeah, I thought it was like, wait, what? No, tell them. Like,
you have a lifetime supply of toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh, that's a freaking lifesaver in the apocalypse.
That's a lifesaver anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. When you run out and you're like down to that last few. Yeah, that's like hell on earth.
Yep.
All right, the Al and Morgan sneaking into the compound. I was just like, really? Does the guard really need to come outside of the gate to go kill the walker? Is like, couldn't he just like let it walk up to the gate and then kill it there and then deal with it?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like how convenient that like that was their plan, and this dude, whoever this guard is, was like, oh man, I gotta go all the way outside, open the gate, go out there, kill this walker. And you know, it's like in the beginning when they first, like during the daytime when Jenny and I guess all showed up, like he killed a walker and then he like drags it inside, which I was like, why are you dragging inside?
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, yeah, same here. It's like, why? It's like, leave it out there.
Right. It's like,
I didn't understand that. Why did they need to bring it in? Just like,
are they using it for composting or something?
Maybe they're using the bodies for fuel? I don't know.
Well, no, but yeah, but that's it. It made no, zero sense. It wasn't like you're like stringing them up to, like we've seen in the show where they leave the dead outside because the stench or the smell makes it, you know, the walkers think that, oh, that's just dead. You know, we've seen that before.
Yeah, they so could just like, pile the bodies right outside the gate. So that
right, or like string them up or like whatever. But yeah, I didn't understand why he was like, why do you have to go all the way out there to do this? And then, of course, that allowed Morgan and Al just to be like, oh, we'll just scurry in. And not to mention, I'm like, they were horrible little sneaking people. They made so much noise and like shining lights and like on walkie-talkies, really.
Yeah, and her with the big bright lamp light and the
I
camera.
I was like,
getting
okay,
the billboard of like what they're doing.
Right.
And then the map.
And then Morgan's all like, hey, Al, did you find anything? I'm like, you're on walkie talkies in the people's like compound. Like, what are you doing? Like, there's a radio silence if you need one.
By the way, those walkie talkies, they seem to be like from the subway commission or something. You know,
oh. yeah,
oh, or the drive-thru.
Yeah,
it just reminds me of any like public transportation intercom system or
That's funny. That's exactly. It's just like and it's loud
and obnoxious, and
you can't understand it half the time.
Yeah.
And then I went on to say is like also it's like okay if Jenny's group. They're in this compound, like it's their base, I'm assuming. I'm like, I don't understand why are they leaving walkers inside the compound? And, you know, I didn't understand why there was a walker in that room that Morgan found.
Yeah, I had that too. What I still don't understand is who left it there. It was either Janice left it there for them or they left it there for Janice.
Right.
But I didn't get it either way.
Yeah. Well, and then that made me ask the question. It was just like, well, so this compound had I'm assuming a bunch of people because that's why Tom ran off and then left his sister. It was like, where were the rest of them? You know, it's like, did they kill them all? You know, is that what they did or whatever? But then it was like, why would you leave any dead in, like, did you not scout this whole entire place? This seems, you know, it just did not make sense whatsoever. I'm like, why would this have been left in there?
I think that we will get to this in the info segment of our episode because this is not explained at this point and I'm hoping that it will be explained better next episode, but we have more information about Ginny that explains a lot, but I don't want to bring it up now because it's too you should be able to fast forward through it, so yeah. Anyway, you've got one more.
Actually, this probably, do we have like a funny sauce that we might add? Cause it was like, I was like, why is our group always surprised people know their names? I mean, they made a tape for other people to find. So when Jenny tells Morgan, like, hey, I know you're Morgan and you're Al. And Morgan's like, how do you know our names?
Well, it's Cheers, so everybody knows your name.
That's the best I can do.
That's fine. That's totally fine. But I mean, and just like she said, I was just like, well, hello. You guys left tapes, like, I don't know how many places.
Yeah.
And it basically just said, hey, this is us. And so someone, I was just like, it's the tapes, dumbass.
Yeah. It's not like they were wearing masks and having their voices coded.
Right. But I'm like, how are you not surprised? You guys left this, like, apparently all over the place for everyone to find. So
yeah, and you're making a great point here because it's like they act so surprised. It's like, well, duh. Of course they're gonna know you if they left as many tapes as it seems that they did. And you know, the time and distance thing, and time is the one that still Like, they make it seem like they produce the tape on Wednesday, and by Saturday, everyone in Texas has seen it. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, but
all 30 people.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think it would have, I mean, it would have taken them months to, for people, it, maybe even years for people to see this tape. And I just, I think that that whole thing is not totally believable.
Yeah.
I think I brought it up. What are Skidmark's serious behavioral issues? I want to see them, but I'll bring it up again here. Darlin, I am an open book. Okay. So that's a question I had. Did Virginia put a good face on to just to impress them? Like, you know, for the, you know, kind of like, like something like the governor would do, you know, put a good face on things, and you know, and in the end, she'll just turn around and kill them. Or is she like sincere in bringing them on? And I think this thing that I've alluded to like three times now, I think explains it. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I brought up here, because a couple other things I had in my WhatsApp we already talked about, but Tom's sister, Janice, that must be the woman that Wes rescued, right?
I'm assuming so.
Assuming.
I think we're going to find that out next week, that it is. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to find out. All right. So that's it for my what's off. So let's move on to sad or ah sauce.
Aww.
Well, Todd from Ohio says, rest in peace, Grace. Maybe. It's too bad Morgan couldn't get it together in time to get her before what looks like the end.
Yeah, I thought that was sad, too. I had that as sad sauce, but I saw Todd's point, and I took it out. But yes, I thought it was sad as well,
but although we didn't somewhat see cliched. The end,
what's up?
We haven't seen the end yet.
No, we haven't. We haven't seen it. But just the point that, you know, if Morgan had just gotten it together before,
oh yeah, now, to get with her, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And you know, maybe she just has a cold.
Maybe you could go on the carousel again and, you know.
And let him smile. Smiles, yep. I guess he'll. All right. Well, Aaron from the internet said, Daniel and Grace singing together. Adorable.
Alex from New Jersey also had two sad / ah sauces. And he also brings up Grace. He says, Grace. Poor Grace. She's such a good character. And then he also says the vinyl records, at least they saved Daniel.
Did they?
That's what my question is. How did they save him?
I guess
because the walker slipped.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, okay.
Was it on Beta's face?
I heard that. I heard about that. Yeah,
I had to pause it, and it did look like Michael Hurst, Ryan Hurst.
Yeah, supposedly. Spoiler. Well, we must have bring it up now since he brought it up. Apparently, for The Walking Dead, the character of Beta in the comic book was like what, a football player or athlete, something like that.
Basketball player or something like that.
Yeah. And apparently he might be a country singer or something like that a singer in The Walking Dead. Because apparently there was a little spoiler that came out from Sidney Freehand, the director, that one of the albums was had Ryan Hurst's photo on it. So, yes. So, spoiler. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see that.
I would love to see that.
Eventually, we will.
I was hoping it would be a wrestler, but hopefully they change things. Yeah. And that was just in there as like a decoy.
Maybe. All right, Mark, you've got a sad sauce.
Well, I was sad for the pool. That was all spoiled by the Walker blood. How are they going to filter that out and make better water? Because that's how they were purifying the water, according to Tom. Mm-hmm. So now I that is tainted. And-
well, that, I think now that they have the, you know, like they have the generators back on, then they can use, they can run the pool filter.
Yeah, I was going to say iodine and Brita. Big Brita filters. Brita. Yep.
That's funny.
I don't know how you could, I think you'd have to drain the pool and scrub it down. It and
yeah, it's more work.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go on to mine, which is pretty much what everybody else was just like, you know, Grace getting sick and Morgan trying to get to her. And I mean, you know, we saw in the the upcoming episode at the end of this episode that she seems to be alive and well, but, it's sad because it's like during that whole scene, you know, it's like, I just felt like Morgan wasn't going to make it, you know, like he was having his little epiphany and this and that, but that whole scene was like him kind of having this realization where he was like, I kind of maybe want to express my feelings to her and this and that, and then finding out I'm like, oh no, she's sick, and then we cut and that's the end of the episode. So I was like, oh okay, fine. So I don't know, it was sad.
Yeah, I don't know about Grace being well, alive maybe, but I don't know if she's well.
Yeah, no, it's just the fact that obviously I think, you know, Morgan does get to see her.
I think he gets to see her at the very end, at least.
Well, we'll see.
I'm hoping.
I don't have it written down, but just I'll throw one in there for Al. I'll give a sad to Al because she didn't find Isabel.
Aww.
But I'd say,
it's a trap!
All right, let's move on to our feedback section.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Friend of the show, past guest host, and overall swell guy, Steve, is here again with a voicemail.
Hello, Walking Dead Talker. This is Steve, and there's a few notes for today and tomorrow. I laughed both times when I watched this at the whole Looney Tunes distraction technique to get into the complex. That just, there was only one guard on the gate and he turns his back for a second, so they run behind him. It was so very Looney Tunes that the same, very similar thing happens on the trail with Daniel and Grace. Are the walkers using ambush tactics now? Because we have one walker who very loudly comes out of the trees behind them, and then all of a sudden the ninja walkers herd comes from the other side of them. I laughed at that because I thought, is it really? Why was there no cover on the pool? You would think if this is your source of water, you would want to protect it from the elements. You'd want to protect it from things getting into it. So you would want to put some kind of cover on it, even though I don't know how their filtration system works or what those hoses were doing. It just seemed a little strange that you wouldn't put some kind of a cover on the pool. And we're still unclear about the motives and the plans of these settlers, whatever they've got going on, what their overall overreaching thing is. And that was just gross, eating the jam with her fingers. Do they not have spoons or something? Like, she offers it to Morgan and Althea. What did she think they were going to use their fingers as well? It very strange. This whole group seems very strange and it's confusing, but I like it and I'm intrigued and I can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
Yes, thank you so much, Steve, for your feedback. Yet again, you're the man. I wrote some notes down quickly as we were listening, but I'll start with the last thing I wrote down. Fingers in the Jam. Yes. I thought that was a great point that you made, Steve. When I listened to your voicemail on Sunday night, when you sent it in, I was like, why didn't I think of that? Cause it's like, wouldn't she have spoons? You know, it's like, it is kind of gross. And for that matter, you know, and probably soap is scarce. Too. Yeah. So, you know, I could only think of the cooties that, Virginia has spread. It is gross that she would do that. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's not like she was starving, you know? It's not like it's dip or something. But and still, she didn't you have don't a stick chip. Your fingers in the dip. Yeah. You double dip the chip. Looney Tunes. I thought that was funny when you said the Looney Tunes thing. It made me think of the tippy toe. You know, the little tippy toe sound effect that they make. Well, they can do the ambush because it's all the survivors are deaf, of course.
The gunshots to the head.
Yes.
Near the heads.
But I thought that your most insightful comment, besides the fingers, was no cover on the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered that myself, because if they're using that to, you know, as their like water supply, you would think that they would try to cover it somehow.
Yeah,
like, I guess it's they're using it as a cistern or something, but still, for it there not to be a cover, like, you know, I would think in the zombie apocalypse, still you have leaves on trees,
right? Yeah,
you know. All sorts of things could blow in the water. I mean, that's crazy. So,
true. Yeah. And on top of that, most in-ground pools, because that looked like an in-ground pool.
It definitely was an in-ground pool.
So they do have these things. And even in condo complexes where during the off season, when leaves do fall and snow or whatnot, depending on your area, it covers it completely with anchors. My brother has one for his in-ground pool. So they could have had something like that, and they could have just covered it completely and just filled the water from the side or from a corner or what have you, and then just have it so taut so that if somebody fell on it, walked on it, and a lot of those can be walked on by animals or people, depending on weight. But even still, it would have protected it. The water, at least, you know?
Right, right. Well, no, and it's like, you know, you don't want your water supply to just basically get rained on. And I'm sorry, but Texas gets a lot of, yeah, it does get rain. So, you know, it's like you would not want your, like, and that pool looked pretty much crystal clear. So it's like, did you already have that treated? And then, you know, it's like, yeah, it, I don't know. It was just a pool, and that was basically it. There was, Or like we're almost like analyzing it way too much because it didn't matter. It was meant for the walker to fall in and Al to get like almost bitten.
Well, I'll never live at that condo complex because they don't treat their pool properly.
But it wasn't that big of a pool. Like that complex.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was like, okay, three people out of a complex of like, I don't know, probably like 20 or more. It was like a hot tub.
Yeah, pretty much. But even still, they should have had a covering.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. So our next bit of feedback, and I don't know what to do with this one. Kyle and I talked a little bit about it, but it's from Dieta from Detroit. And her feedback is basically an entire article written by, his name is Paul Tassi in Forbes. And if you haven't been like reading any of those articles, there's a couple of Forbes writers have been like ripping the show apart this season. It is posted on the Facebook group. The article is titled "Fear the Walking Dead Boldly Pivots Back to Making No Sense." So I don't know. I guess we can paraphrase this article, but I don't really want to read it verbatim just because it's an article. So. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would just suggest, like, everybody, if you want to read it, just like click on the link or whatever on the Facebook group. But I mean, it just basically just goes on to say, I think some of the stuff that we've already been talking about.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just the reactions of our characters, how some of our characters don't seem to be acting the way that we're used to.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those things where it's like the article that we're going to talk about, I keep bringing it up, it's like the fourth time, explains a lot about this character. And without it, you're kind of going like, what? Like, why did she kill Logan and the rest of them? Like, why is she like running out Tom and supposedly Janice? Like, what's the point there? And it seems disconnected, but yeah. Anyway, all will be explained. We're gonna keep you hooked until we talk about it. So we're almost there, but the thing that she says is, that is my feedback and how I feel about this show. Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself. So I appreciate this, and you know, a lot of what is said in the article, like asking those questions about, like, you know, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. The article says, weirder still is how Morgan and Al react to all this. I would agree to that, but, and you know, her whole, reaction, you know, it makes it sound like, she wants to be part of the next tape or something. But anyway, I think it's one of those things where it'll make more sense by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway, that's it for our listener feedback. Mark, you had a couple of notes.
Yes. The map with all the keys on it. Yeah. They are in a lot of places, apparently. So what is their game? Is this storyline going to be brought into the next season? There's only one more episode left, as I recall. So I hope we get some answers to our questions.
I think they're going to take it over. It would make sense. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they're going to take over for Ginny.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, yeah. There's two episodes left, but I mean,
yeah,
we have the we have next week and then the week after. But I thought that was actually really cool to actually see, because that was also a big question of like, okay, they keep talking about like, oh, we have all these people and blah, 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 blah. And you see it that they do have, obviously, whether or not these are people under their, like, you know, free will control, or this is actually the community that they've been building. And so it was interesting to see, like, oh, wow, they actually do have quite a bit of property.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more would be Morgan's repaired stick. Doesn't look finished to me. The added part of his staff is unfinished if you really look at it. So you got one that's all pretty much finished, like stained.
Yeah.
And then the new part is all unfinished. And what did that guy bond the staff together with the new
Elmer's
piece?
Elmer's wood glue.
Yeah, right. Once something is broke, sometimes it does not last, even though you bond it together. I've had this in the past. I had a staff where I did something like this, and it did not last over a year. And I've used screws, pins, everything to do that as a kid, because I loved the staff that I had. So, and
you had a staff?
Yes. I made that stuff when I was in the Boy Scouts. Leave me alone.
Were you poking the eyes out of your fellow scouts?
No. It's like a walking staff or something. And sometimes you try to play, oh, I want to be Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And you start playing as like karate with the bow staffs. It just broke. Come on.
Yeah, and once it's broke, you can't really fix it because it's still a weak spot. And like,
it's a weak bond. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. No, I thought it looked cool. I thought it was like really neat that like, oh, he's got like his staff back. But I'm also now wanting to see where like it breaks off.
Yeah.
And it probably will break off next episode or the episode after at a critical juncture.
Right. At the time when he needed it the most. Oh, Jenny, you failed.
Well, hopefully in Jenny's eye or something, if he uses an R.
Or no, he breaks it off and then he like picks it up and throws it like a dagger and it just goes right into perfectly square into her head. Something, if that really happens, I will literally like scream.
Yeah.
Oh.
Due to the special nature of Kyle's feedback, we're going to do it as part of the info. So I'm going to go next. And I happen to notice, since we were talking about the sticks, did you notice that the guy that took out the walker at Paradise Ridge had a stick just like Morgan's?
Yes.
Yeah.
And unlike Morgan's, his was completely stained. Yeah. I had to look up what an MFT was. It stands for Marriage and Family Therapist, which I guess makes sense. So, and that's kind of interesting because I don't think we've heard of any therapists or psych. Well, wasn't Denise, wasn't she a psychiatrist?
Yeah, she was a psychiatrist.
She was training for to be a psychiatrist, but she had medical background history.
Well, she was a doctor, but she was a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was training to be like a surgeon, but she got squeamish and she didn't go forward with it and she became a psychiatrist instead.
Yeah.
But, and of course, a psychiatrist, unlike, I don't know how many times I heard it during season 6, a psychiatrist is a doctor. Okay. So, but, and of course, that's not the same as a psychologist. And a lot of psychiatrists just deal with the meds part, yeah. But you know, but anyway, the point being that mental health hasn't been, has certainly been a focus in the apocalypse all the way through. But we've never heard of any kind of person getting therapy. And I guess, we see Morgan kind of getting, homespun therapy with Al and the videotapes. So, but yeah. I thought that was interesting that got brought up, because I would think that, especially if a community is surviving, the use of a therapist, would help. It would certainly help. And I imagine that woman has a lot on her plate, especially if they've got like 6 or 7 settlements, as it seemed to be on that map. I took note of Morgan scoffing at Al when he reacted to her asking how he could think that she was just chasing the story. But then she paused and she said, "Fair." So I thought that was very much a point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I noted the traveling Wilburys. I thought that was kind of interesting, because it's not really blues. You know, we've heard Daniel talk about the blues, but still interesting. And of course, you know, that's Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne,
Tom Petty,
Tom Petty, and was George Harrison in that?
Yes,
I think he was. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, and they released 2 albums and they were pretty good, but didn't last for too long. Just did those 2 albums. Anyway, let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Before we get into that article, I'll just mention that the ratings were... They were down again from last week. It got a 0.34 in the 18 to 49 demographic with 1.307 million viewers. That is down from last week's 0.41 in the 18 to 49 and 1.446 million viewers. Okay. So info. Now, before we say this, I think that this is spoilerific. So if you don't want to hear it, I would say skip ahead maybe 4 or 5 minutes. All right, Kyle, go for it.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess you want to just go through my, basically my, comments for the three. Okay. So basically I was like, I wasn't sure if the settlers were, or, you know, settlers, pioneers, whatever you want to call them, like, were bad overall. And I was guessing that Jenny is supposed to be kind of like the Negan Light version for Fear. I mean, it's like they're, you know, like, we're helping people. We just have a different way of doing it. But then being like kind of passive aggressive about it all and still letting them go so that they can show more people. Like, you know, she let Morgan and Al go, and she was all basically saying, no, we want more people, you know, like they still feel like they have like this good about them, even though maybe, yes, they're still doing it a different way than our group. Because it's, I feel like our group is just always running around helping people, but then it's like, you know, this other group is like, oh, you know, but we kill people. And to me, I'm still feeling like, well, you kind of have to take those kind of like that. That's a choice that you have to make in this. It's almost like a basic zombie apocalypse survival thing to do when you're trying to build a community and protect everything around, you know, like the things that are important to you. But then, you know, while going around still trying to, you know, meet new people, we've seen this in the main show, you know, it's like, you know, like you get threatened, you got to protect your people, you're going to have to kill. And that's just, that's the way it is. But our group is all like, no, we're just not going to kill, and we're going to find new people and just help. And, you know, it's like, it's just this weird thing. And I was like trying to figure out, because, you know, it's like they fixed Morgan's stick, and he was like, oh, thank you. You know, it's like, I feel like they're not asking the questions. Like, don't you want to find out more about this group so that you're not just passing this judgment? And I think I wrote down, it was like, I just feel like that our group is like they just think they're the cool kids, and our group's like the emo kids. and so they're, okay. And so it's just like oil and water just for plot sake. You know, it's like the whole setup is basically like, don't seek to understand. You're just like, we're our own self, and like, we're doing this, and you guys are bad. But I don't feel like Jenny is necessarily being bad from what we understand of this world and like our, you know, previous experience from, you know, the main show and just like whatever. It's like, how many people did Rick kill? A bunch. All in protecting the group. Right or wrong, that's, you know, totally up to, you know, discussion. So I don't feel like this group is necessarily like, oh, they just have the bad intentions and they're trying to do their best things or whatever. So anyways, that was my question. It was like, I was kind of not feeling that they're the big baddies that they're supposed to be. And then, of course, we come to the article.
Yes, and the article is, it's actually an interview on AMC.com in the blogs, and we've posted it on the Facebook group, but it is an interview with Colby Minifee, who plays Virginia. And here's the spoilery part. So they ask, Virginia is trying to build something bigger and better amidst an apocalypse. What does it say about her as a visionary and leader? She says, Virginia is just trying to help as many people as she possibly can. She wants to rebuild a sense of community structure and cooperation in a world imploded by chaos. So far, doesn't seem like a bad person. She has an incredible imagination to be able to pull off what she accomplished when we meet her in episode 513. She has a large number of people who support her. She believes they need a leader that everyone can rally around to keep the community from crumbling, and she is damn good at what she does. Yeah, she loves it up there at the top of the pecking order. Then here's the question that answered so much of what we've seen here. So, How does she justify her methods in order to achieve her vision? This is the part that went, oh, in the end, Virginia is a utilitarian. She only cares that the most number of people survive and thrive under her leadership. Before the apocalypse, she was an efficiency expert. She was hired to assess what was redundant in a company and eliminate jobs that weren't necessary. She does the same thing post-apocalypse, but elimination means something a little different. She is really good at finding what someone has to offer to benefit the whole community. She comes from a corporate climate where there is a clear chain of command, and in this world, she is the CEO. Okay, so I'm not going to read any more of that, but that tells me, it completely explains this character to me in a way that I did not understand until I read this part. Right. So essentially, what she's doing is she like looks at Morgan, she looks at the people, you know, at the oil field, you know, like Sarah and Wendell, their truck drivers, June's a nurse, you know, obviously John Dory's got skills. Luciana can make fuel. All of these people are useful to her. You know, and she looks at Morgan and Al as useful to her. But somebody like Tom and supposedly Janice, she says, no, we don't need you. So she cuts them out, and I guess in her, it's almost like survival of the fittest, but essentially what she's doing is she's like being that, you know, corporate person that goes in and cuts people's jobs. And essentially what she's doing is she's trying to build an organization, but she's not afraid of cutting people out of it. Hmm. And that completely explains this character in a way that I did not understand until I read this.
Right.
And it's funny that they brought this up before they ever got this in the story, because I don't think there's anything in the story that explains that she was basically a hired gun to come in and cut the fat in a company.
No.
Now that I see it, it makes total sense to me. Hmm. And it makes me appreciate this character a lot more than I did.
Right.
It sounds to me almost like the movie Deep Impact. At the very end of the movie, they had people going away into a secured location in a mountain, and they only took people that were credible and their crafts,
right, and
what they could provide. And anybody else was like, oh, you're not useful to us to like recreate a new society. And they
and you see something like that in The 100. That's
or in the movie Passenger too, because they pick people up based upon their skills to procreate on this new world or Earth 2 or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Well, no, but the bigger question is though, it's like as a viewer, I have not been getting this at all.
Yeah.
And for this like article to have to come out, you know, we don't have the Talking Dead anymore. Like, it does a disservice to be like, oh, no, we'll explain it in an article, and then if you find it, great. But it's this made me, after, like, you posted this actually after I had wrote my comments and our notes, and I was just like, oh, okay, well, then this is all the answers that I needed, but we're never going to get it in the show.
Yeah,
I really doubt we will see any kind of flashback about her working in corporate America being like, oh, this is a lie. It's just like, oh, this is just blah, blah, blah. And if you get it, you get it. And to me, that it kind of pisses me off a little bit, because like, not everybody is watching this show and going to be digging for information and like following all the blogs and like, or doing whatever, even listening to this podcast. Like, you know, it's like people aren't.
Everyone should be listening to this podcast, Kyle.
No, yes. I know. Everybody should be listening. But I'm just saying, the TV show should not make you have to go search for more answers just to freaking like understand what's going on.
And especially it's more, we're seeing this even a sore point, because the point being is there is no Talking Dead this season, except for, you know, on season finales and season premieres. So this is stuff that, you know, might have come out with her being a guest on Talking
right.
Dead.
Talking and, Dead, yeah. Right, right.
You know, you know, Chris Hardwick would ask this question and it would come out then. But, and I'm hoping that it comes out next episode. I have a feeling it might, and that's what I'm kind of hoping on. But I agree with you. If the next two episodes pass and we don't get the story of her being an efficiency expert and an explanation of what makes this group tick, I think this, it's a major failure. But I wanted to share this with people because that said, at least for me, it made me appreciate this character, but I really it would have been helpful to hear it on the show,
right
away.
Yeah.
You know, right. Not, you know, if it happens in episode 15 or even 16, okay, that'll explain things, but it would have been better to bring it up right away in episode 13.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? If they do bring it up, I'm completely fine with that, because then that would, like, you know, it'd be one of those things where I'm like, oh, I'm still wrapping my brain around, like, who, like, what makes this person like tick and like whatever. And then they reveal it and then it'd be like, oh, there's the payoff. But if they don't, then yeah, then I'll be very, very like, okay, that was not good. Cause that was basically my big question, was like, why are you guys fearing this group so much? It's like, I don't see them so necessarily bad, but maybe not necessarily doing the same thing that you're trying to do, but doesn't make them necessarily bad. But this makes you think, okay, she's like going to sit there and overnight say, you know what, I don't need you anymore. And her method seems to be cut the fat, which means shoot you in the head or throw you out.
And this is why it reminded me, like you mentioned, Mark, Alexandria. And this is why it reminds me of Woodbury. Because Deanna would, you know, she had this one example of this one this one character that was cast out, right? Mm-hmm. But we see directly the governor like try to get Michonne killed, and
he saw her as a threat,
right? Right, and it seems like it's the same with Tom. I don't know why that he would be a threat, because he seems very, you know, ineffective basically, but
yeah.
For whatever reason, it seemed like he was also being eliminated. But, you know, maybe that's the psychopathic part of Virginia.
Yeah.
That it's not just like, well, you know, we're going to cast you out and we don't want you here. It's we're going to cast you out and shoot you in the head.
Well,
you know?
What did his sister offer that he didn't, that they kept her and they kept her captive? That's a good question.
Right. Well, I don't know. She was kept captive. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the episode.
That was the whole reason why he was going back for her.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. It's like, what did his sister offer that she needed? Mm-hmm. And that's a good question.
Who
and
knows?
To the listeners out there, just bombard at Talking Dead on Twitter with a good question of, hey, and regarding this conversation, so that way maybe they'll actually bring that up.
Well, to that end, that goes into my my news, and that's a great segue, Mark, because on Friday of last week they opened up the Talking Dead Twitter account asking for questions of the showrunners of Fear, because I guess they're going to appear on the season finale. And they got such questions like, how does it feel to ruin a great show? And that, so they got a lot of people that really chastised them for the choices that they've made, killing off Madison, of course. And it's a lot of the things that we've been saying, especially you know, we didn't say it the first part of season four, but by season 4B, and certainly all this season, we've been asking these questions. And yeah, I did briefly give them a reprieve, but I don't know. I just I question a lot of what they've done here, and I don't know. That's, but I thought it was kind of clueless for them to ask those questions. Like, did they not realize how people would react?
Yeah.
I mean, they really, I don't think they really did.
No,
I think
didn't.
That they, I think that they clearly thought that people would be like, hey, this is great, you know, but I don't know. You look at the Rotten Tomatoes numbers for the show, and it hasn't been doing too good on there, even with critics. But if you look at the you know, fans, it has not been getting great numbers this season.
No.
I mean, I've seen some of them. A couple of the episodes got, I think, like in the 30s. Yeah, in fact, the rating for this week's episode was a 38 from the critics. So that's not so great. But
well, hopefully they'll listen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I just feel like they have like a different aim of where they're going, and they're just leaving the rest of us behind.
We'll incidentally, see. Last week was a 92, which I'm surprised about, but the episode 12, the one with the rabbi, that got a 38, so that didn't do so well. But yeah, this one got a 38 so far on Rotten Tomatoes. Anyway, another point that I wanted to bring up, and again, this is this is spoilery if you're not following the news, but there is one of the characters of The Walking Dead that we know is going, or at least one of the actresses is going to be leaving us in season 10. That's, of course, Danai Gurira will be leaving at some point. And it was announced last week that she will be, I don't know if she's starring in it or if she's actually running it, but she will be the showrunner of a limited series that will be showing on the new HBO Max, which I don't know if you guys been following that, but supposedly HBO is like adding additional content in this whole streaming. Everybody's going to have a streaming service. No demand. Like I don't know if you saw that NBC announced the name of theirs today. It's called Peacock, and they're going to have a new Battlestar Galactica series. Yeah. With the creator from Mr. Robot. So, but anyway, so she will be the showrunner of this show, which is called Americana, which has an H at the end. I don't know Americana, I don't know. But starring in the series is going to be Lupita Nyong'o. I hopefully said that correct. But it's supposedly based on, I believe it's based on a novel. And of course, you know, Danai Gurira is like a playwright, and she's had plays on, you know, on Broadway, Tony nominated that. So I think it's kind of cool. She's getting into show running. Hopefully she learned a lot on The Walking Dead, but kudos to her. And the last bit of news is the 45th annual Saturn Awards were streamed live on the internet on Friday the 13th. And The Walking Dead won 3 awards, including Best Horror TV Show. And Fear of the Walking Dead was also nominated in that category. It won for Best Supporting Actress for the aforementioned Danai Gurira. And one for, and I kind of went, huh? But Jeffrey Dean Morgan won for Best Guest Star in a series. Now, I know that he won an Emmy for being best guest star for his first appearance as Negan. So I certainly understood it for that, but how does he's on the main credits. How was he a guest star? I don't get that. All right. So that's it for our news, ratings, and info this week. So Kyle, you may have noticed that I've changed the interact with us a little bit since the last time you were on. But why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
If you want to interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We also would like you to encourage you to use our new email address, and that is at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. Now, walkingdeadtalkthrough@gmail.com also is another one of our emails, and you can also still use the walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. And so you have several options to be able to send us feedback, but you know, our main one will be the talkthroughmedia.com version, and you know, just send us your feedback. We always love it. We also do have a feedback form on our new site, which is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. So we definitely want you to go there. And you can also call us at 216-232-6146. And that's, you can leave us our voicemails, you know, and stuff like that for, you know, that we put on the show. And the deadline for our next episode is set for a regular time, day and time, which is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, September 24th. And also, please go to our facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. That is our main network page on Facebook, so like us. We post all, you know, our episodes on there, but you can also leave feedback there.
You can leave reviews there.
Yeah. But that's our main homepage. So if you have
for the network,
So just get out there, like it, share it with your friends. But all the things that we're doing on our network will be posted there for sure.
Yeah, and the great thing about that Facebook page is when we post there, those things can be shared. So, like, I know for our Facebook group, It's an open group, so you can actually forward share stuff there. But the Star Trek Facebook group isn't, and we just I don't know why we changed it. But when I tried to make them the same, people objected. So I'm like, okay.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it enables everybody else to listen. So if you do share, like when our new episodes come out, you could share it on your own Facebook. And if you have friends that have not listened to, they could listen to us or get exposed to what we're doing on our podcast.
Yes, because as was reminded of me last week, the best way to tell people about us and get, you know, support is not by leaving iTunes reviews, although we certainly won't discourage them. The best way is through word of mouth. So if you share our posts on Facebook and Twitter, that would help immensely.
Exactly.
Tell a friend is what I will now say. If you have a friend that watches The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead, tell them about our podcast, and that will, you know, like the old Fabergé organic shampoo. And she tells two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, that worked out for me too recently with Panels to Pixels, because I mentioned Panels to Pixels, and we were covering what we're covering now, and somebody else said something, and we got a few listeners based upon that.
Yeah.
So it works out.
We want to remind people, and this was new as of last week, but one of the best ways that you can support us beyond, you know, getting other people to listen to us is our new Patreon, which is at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we want to encourage you, like, our tiers start actually at we have one tier at this point, which is $5 a month. But if you want to, you know, throw us a dollar or something like that, just to support us, we will certainly not refuse that. But at the $5 a month level, we will be starting to release some content that's exclusive to Patreon subscribers. So more on this soon during The Walking Dead. That's probably when that'll get started. But we want to encourage you guys to help support us. And, you know, we've gotten this new network off the ground, and, you know, we can use your support. So patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we want to thank our current Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, of course, friend of the show, Alex Baelish, and our newest Patreon supporter, Lawrence Todd, also known as LT from NC. So for all of you guys, thank you so much. Of course, you get, because if you weren't going to get a showcase award for that, I couldn't think of a better place to do it. But of course, subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of choice, and give us a rating or review. That will, of course, help, but like I say, share us. So,
yeah.
And we'll make it easier to share. We are still working on the website. We still got a few kinks to work out, but more links and things like that to be added to blog pages. But I haven't had a chance to work on that this week because things have been kind of hectic at work, and unfortunately we lost our senior cat on Saturday. Lover boy, he had to be put to sleep on Saturday, so and he was a mess the last couple of days of his life, so I've been dealing with that. So sorry if I didn't fix a couple of things on the website though, yeah. But, and that's another reason why I can say we were going to record the first episode of the Star Trek Picard podcast this weekend, but, we had to postpone it because of Loverboy. So hopefully we'll record our first episode this coming weekend. And expect that before the festivities at New York Comic Con in October. We will definitely have that out in the next couple of weeks. But of course, that is Star Trek Discovery Podcast.com, Facebook.com/group/ Star Trek Discovery Podcast. We are going to rename the Facebook group to incorporate both podcasts, which Star Trek Picard Cast is the new podcast. And if you belong to the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed or have the feed, you will get the first episode, but subsequent episodes will be on a different feed. And we have moved everything over to Talk Through Media now. So want to make sure you guys all know that. So we have a Patreon for the Star Trek Discovery podcast/Picardcast, and that's at patreon.com/ Brian and Ruthie. So that's it for me and my peddling of the other stuff.
Well, like I mentioned before, you can listen to me at Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Podcast Radio Network. And currently we're in season 4 of Preacher. We only have 2 more episodes left, so if you guys are interested in Preacher and have been watching, please send feedback our way. That's easy to get to. All you have to do is go to panels2pixels.com, which will lead us to our Facebook group, and just leave feedback, because I will be posting something on Sunday so that people could just post for that particular episode, or leave us a voicemail, which will be in our notes as well, for that particular Facebook page. So it'd be great to hear many of you and hear from you. And you know, it's out there. And if there's anything that you're interested in listening to Steve Brown and I talk about, please send it out to us. We are looking to do a Crow movie 25th anniversary podcast. So basically, we're going to talk about the Crow, the original movie with Brandon Lee. And then, you know, if you have any interest in that particular movie, please send feedback as well.
We wanted to reach out to the listeners. We've been finding lately in the last few episodes, especially, that it's been difficult for us to collect all the feedback, especially on Tuesdays. Tuesdays happen to be my busiest day at work. So it's been a little bit of a challenge. And unfortunately, Kyle and Mark can't collect the feedback on Tuesdays because of their jobs. They can't even do it. So it's leaving it up to me. And I know,
yeah,
we've had some issues like the last couple of weeks, like missing stuff and stuff like that. I want to apologize to those of you that have reached out saying, hey, you know, we edited this and we didn't get it. Just really sorry about that. But we just like to say that we could use help from the listeners, to especially if you are a member of the Facebook group or are willing to become one.
Exactly.
Most of the feedback comes in through Facebook, and we take it. We sometimes have to change it for spelling and grammar, and then we have to collate it to put it in the right like sauces and ratings and feedback and all of that. So it does take some time, and on, you know, especially certain times of the day, and especially late on Tuesday, it can be kind of challenging. So we'd just like to reach out to listeners here, because in a few weeks, The Walking Dead is coming back, and our feedback usually increases for that show. So if you are able to help out, and if you are a friend of mine or of Mark's in Facebook Messenger, send us a message.
Exactly.
Or if you don't have that, whatever, post a message on the Facebook group. We'd give you access to our Google Docs and that. And
the inner workings of what we do.
Yes.
So if you want to help out the team and help out Talk Through Media and what we do, that would be awesome. You know, like Brian stated, just,
yeah,
if you have the ability for Facebook, Twitter, that would be amazing. That way we could actually all get all this, you know, information put into what we do weekly. Any help would be beneficial.
We're not really sure how we would do it, but if you contribute and can collect feedback, we will kind of comp you into the Patreon group. We don't know exactly how we would do that yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yes.
But yeah, so that would be one perk that you would get for that once we figure out how to do that. Sorry, we're new. But yeah, it's kind of becoming an issue. So we could really use your help in collecting the feedback.
Exactly. If you find yourself where you have the time during the day on Tuesday, that would be amazing, because I'm not able to get to my computer while I'm at work because I do physical work and I'm constantly on a phone, but it's my work phone and I cannot utilize my work computer for what I do here because it's a conflict of interest in some respects.
Yeah,
but
same here. But
and the same thing for Kyle as well. So a lot of people send their feedback into just like the 11th hour of when we're ready to record. So it'd be amazing if you guys could actually help out. And like Brian said, we would comp you in some way as far as being part of like the Patreon or some sort of inclusive thing. So that would be amazing. And if you could reach out to us, that would be awesome. And definitely you will be appreciated.
Yes. Yes. And we've had other people that have helped us in the past, but I know that they're not available. So we need someone else to help out. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next episode, season 5, episode 15, titled very much like Channel 4. It is the next channel, Channel 5. It is written by, we don't know, directed by who knows. And the description is, I picked this up from Google. So I don't know where the source of this is, but they have been accurate in the descriptions in the past. When Virginia makes a statement, Al responds in kind. Ooh, yeah. Facing dire circumstances, June leads the search for a new place to call home. With Grace's condition worsening, Morgan makes a tough call.
It's a trap!
I don't know if it's a trap, but that's a very dire statement there.
Exactly. Well,
there's a lot of direness in that description. And one thing of note, based on the little preview that we're getting from AMC Premiere, it appears to be another found footage tape episode. I don't know if the whole thing is found footage, but I definitely did see a lot of found footage in that take. And if you see the little preview after the episode, this episode, you'll see that it looks like some found footage stuff. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.